This is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting. U.S. President Donald Trump is responding to a memo released by the Democratic minority on the U.S. House of Representatives Intelligence Committee. The memo is in response to one released by Mr. Trump's own party that says the FBI and Justice Department have abused the law in their investigation of possible ties between Russia and Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. Now, the Democratic memo calls the Republican version a transparent effort to undermine the various investigative processes that are underway. The president says he disagrees with what the Democrats are saying.
Certainly the memo was a nothing. I watched Ms. Herridge, who's fantastic, on your show just before. And I will tell you, that was really just a confirmation of, if you call it the Republican memo or the Nunes memo, it's referred to as a lot of things. But that was nothing but a confirmation.
Trump made the statements during a phone call into the Fox News program Justice with Judge Jeanine on Saturday evening. The Republicans contend that the FISA warrant that allowed the FBI to surveil Carter Page, a Trump campaign operative, was politically motivated. Well, one of the revelations of the just-released Democratic memo is that the four judges on the FISA panel who allowed the surveillance were all Republican-appointed judges. After a testy exchange this past week over a proposed U.S. border wall, Mexico President Enrique Peña Nieto canceled plans to visit the White House. That according to a report Saturday by The Washington Post. Peña Nieto and Trump spoke Tuesday, spending a considerable amount of their nearly hour-long call on discussions of the border wall. During his run for president, Mr. Trump made it a campaign promise that he would have a wall built along the U.S.-Mexico border and that Mexico would pay for it. This is VOA News. In a unanimous decision, the UN Security Council demanded that all parties in Syria implement a nationwide ceasefire for at least 30 days and lift sieges on the area, including eastern Ghouta. U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley expressed her skepticism that the Syrian government would comply with the ceasefire, but said the truce must be given a chance to work. She also admonished the Russians for stalling the resolution's adoption.
Today, Russia has belatedly decided to join the international consensus and accept the need to call for a ceasefire, but only after trying every possible way to avoid it.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who this week said the 400,000 inhabitants of eastern Ghouta were living in a hell on earth, was pleased with the unanimous adoption. U.S.-led diplomatic efforts appear to have persuaded ousted Afghanistan provincial governor Atta Mohammed Noor to postpone this week's planned anti-government demonstration. Now, Noor governed the northern Afghan province of Balkh for 13 years until he was removed from office in December by President Ashraf Ghani. Noor planned to lead a massive rally of thousands of vehicles packed with supporters for a three-day sit-in protest in Kabul starting on Tuesday, but the ousted governor told reporters that he's postponing the protest. His remarks came a day after visiting U.S. Permanent Representative to NATO Kay Bailey Hutchison stressed the importance of peacefully resolving political differences.
What we're doing is saying to our Afghan leaders, settle this. Let's go forward. We're not taking a role in it, but we are certainly saying this is part of reconciliation and moving forward.
General John Nicholson, who commands U.S. and NATO troops in Afghanistan.
We respect your political process and your political evolution. We respect your politicians. As a military commander, my only request would be that politics not undermine security. And we keep in mind our primary goal of helping this country get to a peaceful reconciliation.
The political dispute threatens to undermine Afghan parliamentary elections later this year. China angrily responded Saturday to new sanctions the U.S. imposed on North Korea, maintaining they are counterproductive to efforts to halt Pyongyang's nuclear and long-range missile development programs. U.S. President Donald Trump announced on Friday what he called the largest ever set of sanctions against North Korea and threatened a phase two if the measures aren't effective. The sanctions target one person, 27 companies, and 28 ships registered in China and seven other countries with the intent of eliminating North Korea's illicit shipping and trade. I'm Joe Palca, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
From Washington, VOA.